You don't have to go far in the cities of Altoona or Eau Claire to see and realize that there's a lot of development going on. Whether it's new construction along Highway 53 in Altoona or the redevelopment in downtown Eau Claire, it's hard to miss. This hour we're going to talk about the development with two men in the middle of it all, right here on the west side. I'm Rich Kramer and I'd like to introduce my guests first. Mike Golot. Mike is the city administrator for Altoona. He's been in that position for the past 9 years. Mike Golot, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. Also joining us in studio is Mike Schatz. Mike is Eau Claire's Economic Development Director and has been in that role more or less for the past 30 years. Mike Schatz, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. And listeners, do you have any questions or comments about development projects near you? Any concerns? It's now your chance to ask these two men who are intimately involved with these projects some questions on the air. 800-228-5615 is the call-in number. If you're a little shy and would like to post a question or a comment on Facebook, we can do our best to get it online. Again, we're talking about economic development in Eau Claire and Altoona. We've got Mike Golot of the city of Altoona and Mike Schatz of the city of Eau Claire. So, again, as I mentioned in the lead-in, there's a lot happening just off of Highway 53 in Altoona. New surgical hospital, a new grocery store on the way. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And Mike Golot, what's shaking in Altoona?
Well, as you said, we're very much looking forward to Woodman's construction, which Woodman's is planned to open next September. That will drive a lot of retail development both in that southwest quadrant and the northwest quadrant of River Prairie. Beyond that, the northwest quadrant, the city still owns that. We've master planned that as a mixed-use development that will include retail, office, residential, but perhaps most significantly for the listeners out there is a very high-quality public space to accommodate events and also provide a place for the kids to come and have fun.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about quadrants in the city of Altoona, I'm fairly new to the area, so I'm not quite sure exactly what you mean. I know where River Prairie Drive is, so...
Yeah, I guess I'm accustomed to talking about River Prairie in terms of quadrants, and it really is defined by River Prairie Drive and Highway 53. So we have the south quadrants and the north quadrants, northwest, southwest, northeast,
sure.
Southeast. And the northwest quadrant is undeveloped right now, but we started the infrastructure installation this past year. It's right across from where you see Woodman's starting to build, the foundations up. The walls are coming, I believe, December 12th. Mm-hmm. So you'll see the big prefab tilt-up walls will be coming. Then across there in the southeast quadrant is Oakleaf Hospital, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics, Northwoods Therapy. And then in the northeast quadrant, you've got Orgel Wealth Management and Defada.
And all of that, the Oakleaf, that whole area just seem to spring out of the ground. It's amazing how fast those things can go up.
Yeah, it would seem that way, but behind that was a lot of planning and a lot of work, and really it's been on the top of my list since I've been here for 9 years to promote and get something going in those quadrants. It really was Oakleaf Surgical Hospital that provided the catalyst, though, I would say. That happened about 3-4 years ago when they decided to move from their current location in Eau Claire, and it really provided the basis for other people becoming interested in both the commercial and residential development there.
So you were talking about some of the, the quality of life things that you're planning. There will be a canoe launch of sorts?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that both Eau Claire and Altoona are stressing, and that is that in order to have people invest in your community, to bring professionals here, and to have quality businesses invest, you've got to create quality of life. No longer are the days where people just look for a flat piece of green property with the infrastructure installed. They look at schools. They look at cultural events happening around town. They look at quality of place. And these are the kind of things that we're trying to create as we look at that northwest quadrant of River Prairie in particular. And we're building on the synergy that Eau Claire has started with their Phoenix Park and downtown redevelopment.
Sure. And here's a kind of a silly question. The Altoona, you know, there's all this stuff happening in the River Prairie area. Where would the – is there a traditional downtown Altoona, or is it kind of a sprawling suburb type of Eau Claire City?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do with the Northwest Quadrant is create what Mayor Blackburn terms Altoona's front porch. And it's a place where people come together as they did in a traditional downtown, meet each other, have a cup of coffee, play some games, hang out. We do have a traditional old downtown, but it's a vestige of what it was formerly. Mm-hmm. But even there, we've had a very significant investment by Bob Adrian, who opened up Rump's Butcher Shop downtown.
Okay.
Just opened up a couple months ago. It's a beautiful, thriving business right in the heart of downtown, and we hope that we can, beyond River Prairie, build on that energy that Bob's brought to downtown and maybe do some more projects there.
Very cool. Again, we're talking about development projects in Eau Claire and Altoona. On the program with me, Mike Schatz, Eau Claire Economic Development Director, and Mike Golod, Altoona City Administrator. Number to call in, 1-800-228-5615. This is the West Side. So Woodman's is incoming, 2015, open doors, hopefully. And I read that there's going to be a number of – that they'll start subletting, I guess, or some lack of better terms, other sites. So how many acres are we talking? Because when you're coming in 53 towards Eau Claire and Altoona, it's just a massive area scraped off. And I at first thought maybe it would be an industrial sand mine or something because it was such a quiet – cleared off space.
Yeah, in that southwest quadrant where you saw the massive earthwork, there's 50 acres. 40 are owned by Woodman's, and 10 remain the property of the city, of which about 5 are developable. The Woodman site itself, the grocery store, will take about 20 acres of that, and then they will have a gas station, car wash, and quick lube service that's Woodman's branded. And then there will be about 5 additional outlots that will be marketed once the store opens.
Five.
And 5 or 6, I believe. And that could be convenience, auto-oriented retail, could be restaurants, could be a number of things. They've partnered, have established relations with several retailers in other jurisdictions, and they just want to focus on getting their work done first before mm-hmm. they start on any other projects in that quadrant.
Absolutely. I'm from Superior, and the same exact thing happened. There was a lot of big box. You're from Superior, too?
I am.
All right, great. So, yeah, a lot of along the Tower Avenue, kind of by where all the big box stores are, all of a sudden you've got that frontage road, and then it just kind of grows from there. So that seems to be the idea of what's happening.
Correct.
Is that some kind of a old school formula? Because it seems like you see that wherever you go in cities.
Yeah, it's a very traditional way to develop is you get what they call an anchor in a retail development that's a traffic driver.
Okay.
And that's why Woodman's is so important because we really couldn't ask for a better traffic driver, traffic generator.
No kidding.
Because it makes the outlots more valuable and more attractive to other smaller formatted retailers that want to be there.
Now, I also read that there is an extended stay hotel. What kind of a hotel is that? Are we talking one of these one of these kind of older motels? Like a lot of cities have it where the weekly rates are kind of...
No, I mean, it's not like the older boutique hotels that you know, oftentimes the older hotels in downtown areas become the extended stay,
yeah.
The old type of extended stay where it's cheap because they have a lot of deferred maintenance and that type of thing. But
sure.
This is a you know, fairly recent concept, but several of the flags are doing it where they do have they're very high quality properties that have rates if you want to be there for longer. But more than that, they have the amenities there within the rooms to allow you to stay longer, you know, the kitchens, the
sure.
cooking facilities, that type of thing.
Okay. And what kind of so will that be catering to this new development that's happening in that area, or is it just something that...
Well, I think that Larson Properties, who's going to do the development and who has developed very successfully the new Holiday Inn there, has looked at the demographics and done somewhat of a market study, and they've determined that there's a need for that type of property here. They hope that it will complement Oakleaf and Luther for families coming in and out.
Sure.
Because that River Prairie Drive has become the primary exit for people going downtown, especially coming from the north. And they think that that can help complement that business with people coming in for procedures.
And not necessarily last and surely not least, you've got a golf course that kind of has transitioned into some potential residential development, Hillcrest Greens. How many lots are available there, and what is that going to look like eventually?
Well, it's both residential and commercial development. It's primarily single-family detached residential.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 100 lots available there. There will also be apartments that are planned there. The developer is Rooney Properties, Jim Rooney and Heartland Homes, who have done the property across from Gander Mountain using a Rick Harrison coving design. You can see it's a curvilinear streets that provide a lot of different opportunities for development. They all back up to public space or privately owned but publicly accessed space. They kept all the mature trees within the development. But most significantly right now, what they're working on is a 100-unit senior continuum of care senior housing facility, and that will create a significant tax base for the city. You know, that's outside. River Prairie is within a tax increment district, so it'll be a while before the general fund realizes those tax revenues.
Mm-hmm.
We also have besides Hillcrest Greens, we have Clubview Lane, which is being developed by
yeah.
C&M Homes. And we have the Severson home that is going to build next year in Altoona as well. So we're kind of clicking on all cylinders, I would say, both within the tax increment district and outside the tax increment district, which is very important for creating revenue for the general fund currently, since there's such a demand on city services right now.
Now, those locations, those residential areas, Hillcrest Greens and also Clubview Estates, I mean, those, we're not talking low income. I mean, I would imagine that the homes nearby the golf course, the Clubview Lanes might be for upper middle class or
well, that's a good question. I mean, the Clubview Lane is actually a mix of twin homes,
yeah,
which have been very successful on Fairway Drive, the road accessing the Eau Claire Golf and Country Club. You know, those are probably average about $170,000-$180,000 per side, so they're affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll see houses where people buy two lots. They may buy or build a $400,000 or $500,000 home, but A lot of the prototypes that they're looking at are probably going to be in that $250,000 range for ClubView. The others at Hillcrest Golf Course, Hillcrest Greens, will probably be a little bit more upper end. I know that one of the homes sold for around $500,000, but there be a variety of price ranges ranging from probably the mid 200s on up. But a very high-quality development there.
All right. Well, let's take our first break. When we get back, we'll speak with Mike Schatz about some developments in Eau Claire, and then we'll just kind of talk generally about what goes into all this, all these developments. They don't just spring up out of the ground, as the two men in the studio here will attest. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side. I'm joined by Mike Golod. He's the Altoona City Administrator. And Mike Schatz, he's the Eau Claire's Economic Development Director. We'll be right back. If you've got a question or comment for these gentlemen, the number is 1-800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in this first Monday of December. We're talking about downtown development in Eau Claire and Altoona. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. There are a number of projects happening in the both cities, and we just heard from Mike Golod. He's the city administrator for Altoona. Now we're going to speak with Mike Schatz. He's the Eau Claire Economic Development Director. Certainly a lot going on in Eau Claire. So, Mike Schatz, if there's one word that can sum up development, community development, downtown development, would it have to be confluence, or do we want to wade into that?
I was going to say a solid. We're having a solid year, and okay. It's across the board from downtown to industrial to commercial in the outlying areas and such. So I think you've seen a lot of development in Eau Claire this year, some significant projects, and maybe even some game-changing projects that are happening now and have been talked about in the future.
So one of the significant projects, I think, downtown that's already happening, I think they just opened up, Jamf Software Headquarters opened its doors, in September, I believe, right?
That's correct. And you talk about the prototype economic development project, but here's a local person, mm-hmm. Zach Homestead, who grew up here, went to college here, developed a product, and then has grown it to, when I met him in 2008, they had 4 employees. And now they have over 155 in Eau Claire, same amount in Minneapolis, and the potential to grow up to 300 in Eau Claire in the next couple of years. They invested in the downtown. They believe in that culture, and they are giving back in other ways, not just the new building that they've built, but also in the fact that Zach has bought the hotel, former Ramada, and mm-hmm. turned that into the Hotel Lismore, that they've started the project now, and we look forward to that in the next year or so. And he's also part of the former Green Tree,
right.
Which is now going to become a boutique hotel with a bunch of other young 30-something. So it's great to see these young people believing in the community, putting their money into projects and supporting the growth of the downtown and that culture.
So someone in your position, when you've got a gentleman like Zach or other 30-somethings that are very successful, choosing to stay in the city and invest in the city, is that some kind of manna from heaven for someone in your position?
Yeah, it's the perfect scenario. You like to see local people becoming successful. You like to see that they appreciate the people that have helped them along the way and that they're willing to put back into the community. The job potentials for UW graduates that are software majors is phenomenal. People can get an education here and then stay in the community. The type of investments that we're making in infrastructure and amenities downtown with the bike trails and hopefully the performing arts in the future and all the different arts and cultural musical events, pavilions, gathering places, all of those are the things that are national trends right now. As Mike was saying earlier, people really are looking for communities where they have things to do and events and such that they can go to. And so economic development, that's one of the big changes I've seen over my 35 years in it, is that now, as much as we, you know, used to just recruit companies and work with existing companies, now we recruit people, we recruit talent, but we also invest heavily in that quality of place that Mike was mentioning. You have to have a community that people want to live there and be there,
sure,
and find jobs there. So investing in that infrastructure and those amenities is very important.
You mentioned the hotels. I've been dying to learn more about it. I did not know. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, enough attention, that the former Ramada has a new name. You said the Hotel Lismore?
That's correct, and that's a playoff of the sister city, Lismore, Australia.
Oh, very cool. So I know that there was an article earlier this year, and Zach Helmstead, the founder and co-CEO of Jamf Software, said that he was hoping to open it by the end of 2014. Is that still on track, do you know?
I think it's going to take a little longer. I think it's a very large project.
Yeah.
I'm sure Zach is balancing a lot of different balls in the air at the same time. And so it'll probably take a little longer for that. But I think the end result is everything that we've wanted, and that's to have a hotel downtown so there is an option when people come here as tourists and coming to the conventions again when the convention center portion of that building opens. So you want to have an option for people to stay. Most of us that travel and go to conventions and training and such, you usually end up in a hotel downtown by a convention center or something.
Yeah.
And then in your free time, you go and visit the little shops in that downtown and walk along the riverfront and such. So getting that back going again will be a big boost to that tourism element of downtown.
And Mr. Helmstead was quoted as saying that, you know, watching the Ramada kind of go downhill, or what was known as the Ramada, it was hard to watch. And what kind of a drain or what kind of a effect is something like that, a hotel that kind of goes into foreclosure multiple times then is vacant, a big hotel in downtown Eau Claire, what kind of impact does that have?
Well, it has a significant impact because, you know, just word of mouth alone, people, you know, were telling friends not to stay there,
yeah,
warning people that were looking to book conventions and such. So, yeah, you don't want to see ownership that's not going to take care of their property. And unfortunately, that was the case in the past. But I think looking at Zach, you can see the type of person he is and what he's already done for the community. So I think in the long run, you know, I don't know how long it'll take him to do it, but I think the final product will be great, and that's what we're hoping for.
So barring, you know, any confluence aside, the Performing Arts Center aside, that hotel, once it comes back online, whether or not there's that project, that in and of itself will spur some development downtown? Or would there be enough of a need for a hotel downtown without something like the Confluence?
Well, we've seen significant people coming to town because of Mayo. And so it's,
sure,
this hotel would be very close to that. So it'd be an excellent place for people to stay, not only for, you know, employees that come for a year and do internships and such, but also for families that want to be close to people that are having operations or in the hospital for other reasons. So that would be a good option. The culture and the arts that are going on in the community, we've heard the announcement that in the future we're going to have a new sports event arena, aquatic center, recreation center, the performing arts building, if it does get built for the Confluence, which we all expect it will be another plus. You start putting all of those things together as one big situation, then I think that's where you can see where a hotel would come in very handy for all the different things that are happening.
And there has been, at least the discussion has been, a very comprehensive kind of downtown redevelopment, but it seems like the Confluence Performing Arts part of it was kind of the linchpin. Is that safe? Is that a fair accusation, I guess?
Well, I think it is a game changer for the community. I think it will also spur some things to happen around it, and having that beautiful type of, if you've seen the renderings of it and such, sitting on the confluence of two rivers, your best site in the community, having something so dramatic will be a big plus, and then having the public amenities around it with the public plaza and such. But I think the real linchpin of our redevelopment efforts came about, you know, in the past with future or past councils and past RDA's vision to have a downtown that was a very urban, mixed-use, high-density, based with a fabulous award, four times award-winning park, Phoenix Park, flipping the buildings, facing towards the river, having bike trails and public places where people could stop and gather. I think that vision came about at the same time that you were seeing the whole national trends flip to people moving back to the urban core, urban center, wanting to leave less of a footprint, use less gas, less auto, more pedestrian friendly, using bikes more. I think our timing was impeccable in meeting the trends that were going on. And so I think, you know, if you could say maybe the confluence of the two rivers, the timing was perfect for Phoenix Park. Michael Lander and Jeff Moding said that what the city did with Phoenix Park was the reason that they were so interested in developing buildings downtown. And so I think that's all played into our favor as the millennials want to be close to where the action is. They have little time, so they want to be able to get to things fast and all the restaurants, all the cafes, all the music and arts that are going on there.
It's so fascinating to me because it just seems like everything has a bit of cyclicalness. I don't know if that's a word, but cyclical kind of a pattern, like because we went from the downtowns to kind of a sprawling, more urban, you know, sprawl kind of a thing, Oakwood Mall, et cetera. Now it seems to be returning kind of. Is that me just trying to find meaning somewhere where there isn't?
No, I think, you know, if you've been around as long as I have, you see various trends and different generations want different things. So we all learn from the past, but we have to look to the future. And I think communities can't stay stagnant and just use the same old thing that they've been doing for years and years. You have to change with the trends and with the times, and you have to invest in yourself and take care of your public infrastructure and your buildings and such. So by creating what we've done downtown, one of the biggest elements was bringing people back to live downtown. Our downtown had evolved to pretty much being an office center, an employment center, where you know, roughly 1/4 of the community comes to downtown every year or every day to work. So what we wanted to do is find a way to utilize our infrastructure that we had put in there and paid for 24/7. And by bringing housing downtown, that's one way of doing it. So we focused on housing and entertainment and things to do after work to go along with the people that are already coming downtown for their office uses and such. So we've roughly had 215 new units of apartments, 300 new people moving downtown with the groundbreaking of this mixed use component of the Confluence Haymarket Landing. You're going to see another 300 people moving downtown. So this is an awesome start to get people living here 24/7 and maximizing our return on our infrastructure investment.
And that Haymarket Landing, it's also going to be retail space. How many retail spaces? And I have those. I mean, are we talking about leasing yet? Or is
there's roughly about 25,000 square feet on the bottom floor. And the really cool part about this is we will finally have a restaurant on the river, which people have told us for years and years that that's what they wanted. So there's multiple opportunities for businesses to rent space there. And it would not surprise me to see two or three different restaurant cafes in that building at some time.
And what is the... You mentioned it seems to be the perfect timing, and maybe this is a question for both of you, but in Eau Claire, you know, all the buildings, they were facing away from the river. What the heck? Why didn't they try to do this sooner? Something about, well, obviously you need to get rid of these buildings. You need to capitalize on that space. I mean...
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, sometimes you learn some things that you know, didn't know back then. And I think because our community was founded on the two rivers. It was a transportation route back then. It was easy to dispose of your waste conveniently right there. And I think people just didn't realize what they had at the time. It was more about, you know, gutting out a living in these sawmill towns and loggers and do what you can to survive at the cost you can. But we've learned through the years that you can't dump stuff right next to you on the riverfront, that people are fascinated with the views of the river, so you want to be facing it. The other challenges are being in the floodplain. So when you talk about downtown redevelopment, it just doesn't happen. There are so many steps mm-hmm. to make it work, from dealing with multiple ownerships to filling in the floodplain so that you can build in it, to taking care of contaminated soils from, you know, what our forefathers did that they didn't realize they were doing, to building up soils. You can't put foundations into sawdust, we found. You've mm-hmm. got to bring in good soil first. So you need to find developers. You need to find people like Charlie Grossclaus and RCU that have the foresight to know that this isn't something you come in and just do, like maybe in a cornfield where you can just start building. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of steps that go into it first, and you have to have somebody that's willing to have the time for us to go through all those steps to make it happen. So, you know, as the three of us were talking about before, you know, it's not something that just all of a sudden happens. I mean, there is so much thought and visions and processes that go into place before you can have what we have now.
Mike Golod, is the city of Altoona in any position to start trying to capitalize on river views and building anything like that? Or has there been a tradition to not capitalize on that as well?
Well, that certainly is integral to the vision for the Northwest Quadrant in particular. Yeah. We have some of the same issues they have over there in Eau Claire with regard to floodplains, so we have to be cognizant of that. We can't build right on the river, but we have planned the Northwest Quadrant in particular for a restaurant that will have beautiful views of the Eau Claire River. We'll have recreational trail right along the river and park space and wooded areas throughout. And we'll also have a performance space similar to Phoenix Park that overlooks the river. We really are, in many regards, looking toward that Phoenix Park model because it's just been so successful, wherein you build the park, build the space where people want to be, that creates energy, and the businesses will get interested and want to be part of that.
And with regards to any kind of development, you know, parking always comes up. And I'm going to go back to Mike Schatz. And you know, there's been a lot of discussion, let's call it that, surrounding parking. With all this development happening downtown, a lot of people would say, well, there's already, you know, no parking. But it depends on how hard you look, I think. There's been talk of and plans, active plans, for building a parking ramp, kind of, I think it would be where the old post office was. It was at $7.7 million projected cost. Now it's around $10 million. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of different ideas on this. Where are we at with that?
Well, first of all, in a downtown area, you do not have a lot of luxury of having suburban type parking lots like you do at a mall. You just don't have the acreage to allow that. So, you know, you need to go up with your buildings, high density, to maximize your return. But the parking also has to be in terms of ramps rather than suburban lots. So we started out with the vision for Phoenix Park with a sharing concept so that during the night, people might be parking there that live there, but then during the day, they leave to go to their jobs, which opens up spots for their retail customers and for office users. To give you an example, RCU allows their parking lot to be used on weekends for the events at Phoenix Park mm-hmm. and at night. So we've had to build a model that allows for a lot of sharing of parking, and so far it's worked out very well. Now, as our successes have come and we proved that, you know, businesses and people wanted to be there, so the demands for parking goes up as more development takes place with Jamf moving down there and this new 57 unit of apartments that just opened next to it. There is a more of a need for parking. We realize that. Originally, the council during the Phoenix Park days said, you know, prove to us first that this is going to work before we give you a ramp. Well, we've done that. We've proven that this is what people want. So now it's time to build the ramp. And plus, with the building of the ramp, it will open up some other opportunities for some areas that still could be developed downtown. One is that temporary parking lot that we call Block 7 across from the livery that Jamf and RCU are parking in now. If we have a ramp and the cars can move from there to the ramp, then that'll open that up for development. Also on the post office site, we can get some liner development in there too. So by having the ramp, we'll get more quality responses, more development that couldn't take place unless we had a ramp. Just also want to put a plug in that the post office opened their new site today. So in the former Charlie's Market, we're back to having the downtown post office open today. So we're very pleased about that.
All right. And Confluence, we have to talk about the Confluence project. What's the latest? Are we still waiting on Governor Walker's budget now to see what kind of grant he puts in there for the Confluence, which he promised he would do?
Yeah. So the part we're talking about of the Confluence now is the Performing Arts Center.
That's correct.
And the community applied for a non-state agency grant. We hope that the governor will be putting that in his budget that we hopefully will see late January, early February. From there, if it's in the budget, then it has to go to the legislature and such for their approval. But we're all hopeful. I believe we'll still do a lot of lobbying and make sure that they see the economic impact that it will have for this whole region, not just for the city of Eau Claire. And if everything goes right, I think hopefully sometime around June, we might know if it's a go or not.
Yeah, I was speaking with Ben Richgruber about this and of the Eau Claire Regional Arts Council, and he mentioned that – I asked him, they're asking for $25 million for the non-state grant, and that would be the largest single – or it would be close to the largest single expenditure in that grant program. So if it somehow turns out to be lower, he said, well, we would change the – the project is scalable, he said. Okay. Well, what happens if somehow this project is shrunk to a point or sunk completely, the Confluence Performing Arts Center? Does that kind of will that harm all this new development? The student housing, would that mean, well, the music students aren't going to live there then, et cetera? I think where I'm getting at.
Yeah, in a worst case like that, and I hope that doesn't happen, but I think you're still dealing with the premier site of sites in Eau Claire. I mean, you got views of two rivers there. It certainly could be something else if need be. It would make a great condo site or office site or something like that. But I think the development that has happened so far downtown over the last 10 years stands on its own, though. I don't think that everything falls apart if the Performing Arts Center doesn't happen. It's what it is, though, is not living up to your potential, because the Performing Arts Center would just open up so much more and be such a signature project that it would be a shame if we weren't able to do that. But, otherwise it's such a great site. Something's going to happen there. But let's hope it is the Performing Arts Center.
With that, let's take our final break. We'll be back with both Mike Golot and Mike Schatz. They are some of the big drivers or in the driver's seats of economic activity in their communities. Mike Golot is the Altoona City Administrator, and Mike Schatz is the Eau Claire Economic Development Director. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. When we come back, we'll start talking about general trends that might be kind of feeding these development projects in the cities. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side. We'll be right back. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm your host, Rich Kramer. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday morning. We're talking about downtown and community development in Altoona and Eau Claire. I'm joined by Mike Golod. He's the city administrator for Altoona, and Mike Schatz is the Eau Claire Economic Development Director for Eau Claire. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. And we've been talking about specific projects. Mike Golod, if you have any other quick plugs that you'd like to throw out there for development projects in Eau Claire, Mike Schatz, throw them out there right now, and then I got some general questions for both of you. But
okay, great. As I was saying before, you know, we had such a solid year across the board in all areas. I would like to mention some of the things happening in our industrial world.
Not just downtown.
We had a significant investment by Riverside Manufacturing and Engineering. They bought the portion of the HTI building, so that was real nice and brought 75 jobs to Eau Claire. Other significant projects included, we finally found a buyer for the former 3M building that had been vacant for 7 years. So Dynamic Fabrication and Finishing has now bought that and will be opening up some operations there. So those are two big, huge buildings that we were worried about. So both successes this year. Also in our Sky Park Industrial Center, we had three plastic companies expand this year, which kind of shows you the you know, a plastic clustering that is working. And
are they in the medical device kind of area?
Some of them are in the medical device, yeah. So Five Star Plastics, Accutech, and Philips MedSize all had expansions this year, so we were glad to see that. Also, our high-tech community has really been growing. Intel moved to the west side of Eau Claire. Superion Technology opened up. That was an offshoot of some of the old SLE employees. We were able to keep them here. And then a new company called Invisible Connect is located downtown. So we're really seeing that high-tech component of Eau Claire stay strong, and we're pleased to see that. Then also kind of our answer to the 53 Altoona, we have Princeton Crossing, which is just a little bit north of that intersection of River Prairie off of the North Crossing and 53, where they have now built a Quick Trip there, and they will be building a Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott Hotel. So we're kind of pleased to see that that development is happening there too.
And Mike Willett?
I was just going to add, industry development is also important to the city of Altoona, and we don't have much industrial land. It's one of the things that a committee is going to be looking at as we kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with regard to River Prairie. Is, you know, what are our next steps and what are we expecting and hoping for in the future? But one very significant bright spot over the last couple of years has been the expansion of Curt Manufacturing, who was on a 30-40% growth curve for many years, even through 2008, 2009, and the worst part of the recession. Just a very quality company. They've added over 200 jobs in the last couple of years, and we hope that we can have more development, industrial development in the future as we look towards River Prairie winding down and what the future of community holds.
So what's overall, what is driving all of this development? And Mike Willett, I'll start with you. I mean, we've heard about the economic recovery and that it's, we've seen, you know, press releases and news announcements of unemployment rate going down in the state. Definitely economic recovery was a big point of contention during the gubernatorial elections. But anyway, are we seeing, I mean, is this all happening because things are getting better on the national level and the statewide level?
Well, certainly if you compare the economy to where it was a few years ago, it's easy to see that we are on the right side of the wave moving forward. You know, as I look at Altoona's success since I've been here, It largely has to do with right time, right place. Highway 53 coming through Altoona, right through the heart of property owned by the city, was really just serendipity for the city. And, of course, there was, as Mike said, there was a lot of hard work and planning and deals that worked, some that didn't work over the past several years. But putting the public infrastructure in with the Highway 53 corridor and having the availability of land in Altoona so conveniently located to Highway 29, Highway 94, 53, the mall, downtown Eau Claire, that really put us in the position for everything to kind of come together in the last couple of years. And that I think, is what has driven development in Altoona in particular, that combined with the uptick in the economy.
So you're talking about the 53, I imagine that's the bypass you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I wasn't around here to see that, what kind of changes that brought on. So, Mike Gulad, you know, as I mentioned in the tease before, or Mike Schatz, I'll never have two mics on the program again. So Mike Schatz, in the lead up, I mentioned, okay, is it the economy, economic recovery, or is it just the culmination of all this hard work and plenty of work that you all put into these projects that turn into these developments? So what say you? Is it, and if you say perfect place, right place, right time, I'll turn your mic off. But so what's going on?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. You know, we had some tough years in the past.
Yeah.
And so I think we're certainly seeing better days now. Construction of single-family homes and multifamily homes has certainly come back from what it was 3-4 years ago.
So the residential, the housing market really does play a big role, and even in downtown industrial areas and all that.
Yeah, and especially in construction jobs,
yeah,
and such. You know, Eau Claire's been cited several times for leading the nation in construction jobs, and that comes from, you know, residential. Medical has been a big driver, all the improvements at Mayo as well as Oak Leaf. The university has been a driving force with a lot of new buildings on campus. So that's led to, you know, our national rankings for construction job growth. I think there has been some pent-up demand by companies who were reluctant in the past to make any big moves because they were, you know, just waiting to see what the economy would do. You know, I think one of the factors we're still waiting to see, though, is will that translate into wage growth for our citizens and the workers? You know, we read a lot about the skills gap and such, but, you know, in some ways we have a wage gap. Why are we not paying the same wages for the same type of skills here in the Chippewa Valley? And, so we want to see this growth continue. You know, you've heard both communities have some substantial projects going on in growth, but we want that to translate into better lives for our citizens too, and wage and benefit growth is important to that.
And Mike Gulad, people, you know, when they see, people notice buildings come out of the ground, people notice ribbons being cut. I mean, that's the sexy side of the development, but what kind of work, just, you've talked about infrastructure a few times, tell me about the kind of mundane stuff that has to happen before any of this goes on. So a lot of planning, then you got to get out there and run some pipes and wires, I imagine.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, this job isn't that sexy.
No, I think not.
I mean, a lot of the work goes into working with engineering. We're working with Ayers Associates right now, an Eau Claire company, on a $3 million project to put in backbone water, sewer, stormwater, streets, private utilities within the northwest quadrant of River Prairie. There's a lot of work that goes into selling property in the case of Altoona and Eau Claire, and getting those development deals done. There's, there's a lot of public engagement, public process, statutory requirements, since we are open public agencies, to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. That takes a lot of time and energy to make sure that the public interest is always being met. So, you know, that's what both Mike and I spend a lot of our days on is, for example, I was just, as Mike was talking, I have two contracts that I have to get back and work on, to get a certified survey map done of the Northwest Quadrant, and I've engaged a parking expert to make sure that the parking needs are met within the Northwest Quadrant. Those are the kind of more mundane things. Before you have your ribbon cuttings and you see the contractors out there building the buildings, that really is important, needs to get done.
What kind of, Mike Schatz, what kind of forces have to align in order for this successful economic development to happen? I mean, a ton, obviously, but what I mean is, what I'm trying to get at is, what kind of incentives have to be out there? You always hear about TIF districts and the city trying to sweeten the pot. So how many carrots do local governments have to, you know, kind of dangle before development gets rolling?
Well, I think it's not just about incentives. Certainly it plays a role when you're, let's say, in a recruitment between states or something like that, or now international more than ever. Some companies are moving away from the states. But I think, you know, all that goes into your infrastructure and your designs and, you know, how does parking meters and how many hours should it be at what price and where should there be free parking, the sewer and water costs, the sidewalks, what should it look like? I would say this area goes above and the normal efforts of involving our citizens, involving the businesses. For example, we just got done with a very large redevelopment of our main street downtown South Barstow, and we had so much public involvement from the businesses and the property owners designing this, what the sidewalks, where the benches would go, what the streetlights would look like. Hours and hours of behind the scenes of meetings that no one else gets to see. I've sat in on this parking ramp design and all the intricate details that you have to have of, you know, what the makeup is. So much is involved. And, you know, finally you get to, maybe you have to talk about incentives, but so much of it is not incentive driven.
Gotcha. With that, that's our time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your discussion. I'd like to thank my guests joining us this hour. Mike Schatz is Eau Claire's Economic Development Director, and Mike Golod is the City Administrator for Altoona. Thank you both. A big thanks to Team Westside also, including Mort Cypress, Henry Lippold, Lauren Segrin, Debbie Brown, and Dean Kallenbeck. Next week, we're going to talk about a meteor impact strike 750 million years ago that has resulted in one of the rarest minerals on Earth right here in our neighborhood. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening.